Welcome into another week of Who's Gonna Win here on KJAN as we get right into a week number 8 of picks here for you. It's most of the usual crew, Doug Leonard, Matt Mullinex, and myself, Chris Parks. We're down a member here this week, and well, I don't know how we're going to get educated because the professor's gone.
The professor.
Yeah, yeah. Does that mean we all get an A? Is it automatic A for
automatic
the day?
A today, yep. Uh-huh. Everybody gets a gold star. Yep. So he'll be picking first every game here this week, so that helps us out a little bit.
And maybe the three of us and the listening audience could keep our picks between ourselves, and we'll just... You know, maybe
kind of adjust on the fly when we need to
afterwards. We won't tell Jim who we picked.
That'll work. That'll work. Let's just take a look back here at how we did last week, and then we'll get into our picks here for this week. But first, we need to hear a word from the folks at Ag Business Associates and Nishna Valley Credit Union. Thanks to them for bringing you Who's Going to Win here on KJN. Back in just a moment.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Every farmer would like to take less risk and make more revenue on the farm, right? Now you can with PriceFlex from ProAg. You can lock out the market bottom, find opportunities to cover costs, and take the most out of the markets today and in the future. Talk to Ag Business Crop Insurance about how PriceFlex will work for you. Take less risk, make more revenue with PriceFlex. Call your trusted ProAg Crop Insurance partner today, Ag Business Crop Insurance, at 712-243-5464.
Welcome back here to Who's Gonna Win as we get into week number 8 of our picks here for you. And we'll take a look back first, though, at week number 7. And here's how things shook out. As far as our overall picking records last week, it was Matt the top dog as he went 6-2 here in our picks. 5-3 for Jim and myself, and Doug was 4-4 last week. So that puts our overall records. Jim still has a two-game advantage. 40-16 is his record. Matt's now at 38-18, two games behind, and then both Doug and myself are three games behind at 37-19 coming into this next week of picks. Here's how it happened last week. It was Fremont Mills going on the road to Exira EHK. They pulled away in the second half and win it 43-12. We all had the Knights in that one, so that was all correct for us. Martinsdale St. Mary's was a 30-6 winner on the road over Riverside, and that was a winner for Matt and myself. Jim and Doug were incorrect on that one. We were all wrong on the next one, as Southwest Valley pulled off the big win of the week. 8-7, they get the two-point conversion to beat St. Albert up on the hill, and Southwest Valley wins that ball game. We all had the Falcons, so we were all incorrect there. It was a Trainer winning one at home over Tri-Center, a game that ended up actually being called in the third quarter. They were going to come back on Saturday and finish that, but decided not to due to some other issues there. So it was a Trainer 26-7, the final there. We all had Tri-Center, so we're all incorrect on that one. Maybe we just wiped that one off the record because they didn't really finish the game, but...
Well, we all lost anyway. So.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So
math still equates the same.
Yeah, we could have had some arguments if it would have worked out differently. But HSTW went on the road to OABCIG on Saturday and won 54-14 there. We all had the Vikings, so we're all correct. It was Carroll and Denison Schleswig. They played a game that lasted a day and a half. They came back on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock to finish it, and it was Carroll hanging on to get the win. 26-21 the final there. That was a winner for Matt and for Jim. Doug and myself were short on that one. And then we all had Harlan winning on the road at Winterset, and they barely did. 7-6 was the final there as Harlan ekes one out. We all got the Cyclones there. And then Atlantic wins a nice one at home, 26-0 over ADM, and we all had the Trojans. So that's how our picks went last week. Some definitely fun ones in there, and we'll hope that we get some different ones going on for you again here this week as we take a look at some other games. So obviously the big surprise last week was the Southwest Valley win. I don't think a lot of people saw that one quite coming.
Yeah, I mean, I think the weather certainly played a big factor in a lot of games last week. You know, that game, the Harlan-Winterset game, you know, and certainly the Atlantic game. I think ADM was probably limited a little bit in how much they could pass the ball, you know, and I noticed that with just our own kids. I mean, we have very, very athletic kids on the Trojan squad, and it was tough for them to cut. You know, I think it just is an equalizer generally.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody looked a little bit slower on Friday night.
I'd be curious to see Southwest Valley and St. Albert play under good conditions to see how it would go.
Yeah, well, it may happen down the road. We'll see and find out, maybe. Let's take a look here at week number 8 here as we get started in our picks, and we're going to start off with an 8-man football game in District 7, and this is the team we had for you last week as we did that Exira EHK Fremont Mills game, and now the Spartans go on the road to take on the Cam Cougars. There's been quite a few interesting games in this district this year, and this should be another one of them. Jim is going to go with the home team. He's taking the Cam Cougars here to win this contest tonight, and I guess we'll go to our next top dog from last week, Matt. What do you think's going to happen here?
Well, both teams come in with similar records, 3-2 in the district. Both of them are chasing Sydney and Fremont Mills up above them. I think Cam still has Fremont Mills next week.
Last week,
yeah. Yeah, so this is a big game for Cam to keep their playoff hopes alive. They can pick up a win here and next week. They'd probably get the second spot there behind Sydney. So, very important game. They put up some large numbers, obviously, this season. 36, almost 3,600 yards of total offense in there. They've pretty balanced attack. The one thing with this game is there's just still a lot of injuries out there. Obviously, Cam has their injury bug hit them a few weeks ago. And the other night in discussion was Exira Elkhorn Kimmelton may have a couple injuries, so yet to be determined on this one. Boy, this is a tough one because I think they are both pretty evenly matched. They just have different qualities to get there. I think EHK relies on defense. Exira EHK relies on defense more so, and Cam just likes to put up the big numbers. Well, it's late in the season. You know, I say a lot of time, you know, late in the season, the defense can really come into play. But it is 8-man football. So I'm going to go with the home team. I'm going to go with Cam. It'll be a close one. Good game, but I'm going to go with the Cougars on this one.
All right. You had me going there the other way.
I did. It was a last-minute switch, even on myself. Yeah. My mind might have been thinking, but something just came out of my mouth.
Something else came out. That happens sometimes. This is a interesting game. I guess I've been impressed with both of these teams when I've seen them, even though they played better teams and ended up losing the game. Cam early in the year to Audubon, and then Exira last week to Fremont Mills. And kind of two different ways that they're going to get it done, too, because Thomas Hensley's the man, obviously, for Cam. He's going to, you know, take them as far as they'll go offensively because he just uses that speed and quickness to get away from you. Exira EHK is the opposite. They're going to line up and run the ball a lot. They like to use some big guys. Cole Madsen, I think, is a big workhorse for them. He really, last week, he was very effective, obviously, because of the way the weather conditions were. He had a big game. I think if Cam wouldn't have gotten hit by the injury bug, I would have thought that they'd have a pretty good chance to get up in there in that number two spot in this district this year. But that being said, without Mitchell Williamson back there, just kind of that big guy that can help lead the way for you, I think Exira's got some of those tough guys up front. And this is going to be a close one, like Matt said, but I'm actually going to go with the road team. I think Exira EHK is going to eke one out here in this one, but it should be a fun football game. Doug.
Yeah, definitely a fun game to watch tonight. But, you know, if I were betting, man, I would say there's a 60% chance that Cam's going to win. You know, they've got some great talent, especially their quarterback, obviously. However, I am a few games behind Jim. And so, like Matt also said, it's the end of the year. You got to make up a little ground. So I don't think it's too risky to take the Spartans. They're a good squad, too, and Coach Peterson will have them ready for the game. But be a fun game to watch either way. And hopefully both teams play hard, play good football, and there are no injuries tonight.
Yeah, we'll hope for a good outcome there and a good hard-fought football game. So we're going to split it up both ways on that one for our first pick here in this week's sheet. Let's move on to Class A District 7. This is the Grizzled Tigers going on the road to take on Martinsdale St. Mary's. And Jim is going to go with the Grizzled Tigers here in this one. He thinks they're going to be able to go on the road and pick up the victory. I guess I'll get next crack here looking at this one. And yeah, this is a... I don't know, this was another one of those ones that I think that's really tough. You know, who's going to be able to kind of put their best foot forward week in and week out is what's been going on in this district with some of the teams that are kind of right in that middle of the pack. You know, Martinsdale was able to pull off a nice win last week over Riverside. They had a four-game losing streak prior to that, but they had played some pretty good teams. They'd played some good competition here through the season. They're kind of getting to some of those teams that they probably thought they had a better chance against now here down the stretch. It's been, a tough road for them. But for Griswold, when they get that ground game going, I think they can be a pretty good team. It's just a matter as if they can sustain that. This one's tough because you can't really compare too much against the teams that they both played and how it's come out so far. I don't know. I need to make some ground up here too. That's the other problem here with this one. I don't know. I think I'm a little hesitant to go against Griswold if they can get that ground game going a little bit. So I'm going to go with the Tigers here on the road. But this is another one I think is going to be real close. Doug.
Yeah, Tigers. I like the ground game that they have. Run that ball, control the clock, and Martindale St. Mary have turf down there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They do.
Be nice conditions for them to churn out some offense on the ground. So go Tigers.
All right. So another one there for Griswold, Matt.
Yeah, and that's going to be my comment. They're going to get Griswold down there on the turf. They're just going to be able to grind out the ball. Martinsdale was able to finally score 30 points last week against Riverside. That was their first point scored in five games there for them. But with that being said, I still think Griswold comes out on top.
All right, so we're all going with the Tigers across the board there in that one. We'll go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back and jump into Class 1A for our next pick when we come back here on Who's Going to Win.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Every farmer would like to take less risk and make more revenue on the farm, right? Now you can with Price Flex from ProAg. You can lock out the market bottom, find opportunities to cover costs, and take the most out of the markets today and in the future. Talk to Ag Business Crop Insurance about how Price Flex will work for you. Take less risk, make more revenue with Price Flex. Call your trusted ProAg Crop Insurance partner today, Ag Business Crop Insurance, at 712-243-5464.
Welcome back to Who's Going to Win. As we move along now, here it's Class 1A District 7, and it's Logan Magnolia going on the road to take on AHSTW. And Jim is going to go with the Vikings. He took AHSTW here in this one. I think this game might have gotten a lot more hype had things not changed a little bit last week. But, Doug, what do you think's going to go down here?
Vikings had Obig last week.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So yes. What they finally gave up more than 0 points.
Yeah, that's true.
Gave up 14 points. But still, and then, you know, that's against a good team up there. So, you know, Loma, beginning of the year, I think they had that tough first game against St. Albert or somebody and really got blown away. And then, you know, have come back and played pretty decent football this year. But at home with the team the Vikings have this year and their defense, I'm going to take AHSTW.
All right, that's two for the Vikings so far. Matt?
Yeah, I think last week a little bit of a mild upset there as Missouri Valley beat Loma. Game venue was changed from Logan to Missouri Valley, you know, conditions on the turf and stuff like that. So sound like Missouri Valley kind of took advantage of that situation. So with that being said, though, but I still, you know, HSTW has just been awfully tough. Their defense is very tough. Loma doesn't quite have the size up front to match up with them, so HSTW.
All right, another one for the Vikings. I'm going to make it a clean sweep. HSTW, really tough team. They play good kind of sound team, swarm to the ball type of defense, like they usually do. And they've got some good athletes back there in the backfield, too, on offense. R.J. Harris has been doing a great job running the show for them, and I think they'll get this one here at home. I think they're a pretty motivated team here at this point in the season. Class 2A District 7 is where our next game will be, as Clarinda goes on the road to take on Southeast Valley. And Jim is going to go with Southeast Valley here at this one. He's going to go with the home team. And Matt, what do you think is going to happen here?
Okay. You've got Clarinda 2-3 in district play, Southeast Valley 3-2. As a team, Southeast has put up just shy 1,900 yards of total offense on the season, whereas Clarinda's only done about 1,100 yards. Kind of looking at their games scheduled throughout there, and the one that stood out to me was the East Sac County game, where Clarinda scored 0 points, didn't score at all, and lost 35-0. And Southeast Valley was able to make it a close game, 27-34, coming out and losing end. So I'm going to go with Southeast Valley, especially home. It's kind of a decent drive from Clarinda up to Gowrie.
Gowrie,
Iowa.
Know where Gowrie is.
Yeah, it was a long haul, yeah. All right, so it's 2 for the home team. I'm going to stick with you as well. I guess, it's been Clarinda pretty tough to get them any kind of offense going. I saw them that opening game, of course, against Atlantic, and, they were kind of out of sorts. I think they maybe have hopefully kind of figured some things out since then to try to get a little bit more cohesive. But it's tough when you can't consistently find that offense to try to get wins, and especially when you go on the road. So I'm going to take Southeast Valley as well. Doug?
Gowrie, Iowa, in Webster County, United States, population 1,037, according to the Google. So interesting. Yeah, that is – that's a haul. Yeah, almost three-hour commute there, drive for the Clarinda Cardinals. Matt mentioned the East Sac County game, and that's certainly the one that stands out. Some of the other scores, though, are actually fairly similar. Both beat Red Oak, both beat Underwood in fairly similar fashions. But the home team, I think, has the advantage in this one, and I'm going to take them. Southeast Valley Bulldogs, what are they?
Jaguars, I believe.
Jaguars, yes. You're right, yep. Yes.
Jaguars. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got a little bit that's of that cool. Teal going on, just like Jacksonville.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So that's all the home team sweep across the board in that one. We're going to stay in 2A District 7 for our next contest, as Underwood will go on the road to take on Shenandoah. Jim is going to go with the road squad. He's going to take the Underwood Eagles here in this game. And, it's what team wants to get a win up on the board. It's been a long time for either of these two squads. Of course, Shenandoah has not been able to get one yet here this season. And Underwood is on, a six-game losing streak now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beat Trainer.
They got the win, open up the season, and then, it's been downhill since then. So tough. And, of course, there have been some tough teams in there in between, but certainly the games where you would expect them to maybe have a chance just hasn't worked out for either of these two teams here so far. Shenandoah, I think, has been right there on the doorstep in a couple of games. That Red Oak contest, they probably look back at that one and think that they should have got something done there. But it's just tough when you're not scoring a lot of points. They lose 28-7 last week to Southeast Valley. Underwood was in a pretty similar game there as well. I don't know. I guess I'm going to go with a mild upset here, because I'm trying to track down some games here from Jim. So I'm going to take the home team. I'm going to take the Mustangs to try to pick up their first win of the season here on their home turf. Doug.
Well, this is a tough one. Yeah, I mean, both squads, of course, look at their opponent this week, and certainly think it's a game that they have a chance of winning, and they're both hungry for wins. I'm wondering how much Shenandoah is going to have the look ahead factor. They've got the Page County Super Bowl, I think, next week against Clarinda. But when we saw Shenandoah earlier this year against Atlantic, and I thought they looked fairly decent. Atlantic was able to handle them. But they've got Mason Silence, I believe, is their running back. Is that right for Shenandoah?
Mm-hmm.
And, I think he's put up some decent yards on the ground. I actually had an asterisk next to Underwood before the program started. But I think I agree with you, Chris. I mean, I got to pick up a game here, and And I thought the Mustangs, maybe they'll be able to move the ball against Underwood. So I'm going to take home team.
All right. A couple going Shenandoah's way. Matt.
Yeah, just like Doug said, you know, we saw Shenandoah play. And same thing a few weeks ago. I thought game we had on our sheet, they were listed on here. I thought, oh, no problem. You know, they moved the ball pretty easily. And then they went out, and I think it was a 7-3 ball game in there or something like that, 10-7. Came out on the losing end. So, yeah, this late in the season, who's still focused, who still wants to go out and play on Friday night? You know, the early part of this week is kind of, you know, some messy weather here, cold, rainy, but it's looking like, you know, Friday night's going to be a nice night for some football. So it's just maintaining that focus. Shenandoah has put up some big numbers, too, on the season. You know, 1,400 yards of just running the ball in there. I think we're going to leave Jim out there by himself, and we're all three going to pick up a game on him with this one. Because I think Underwood, in this late in the season, everybody's kind of played everybody, so things are starting to be pretty similar. Underwood's only put up 32 points in their last five games, where Shenandoah's put up 75. So I think Shenandoah's due. This thing has got to break out for them some point, that offense. And so we'll go with the Mustangs at home.
All right, so we got three of us going with Shenandoah. We're leaving Jim out on a limb here with Underwood. One more game before we take a break. We're going to jump into a class that we haven't done all season long here for you. We're going to move up to the big boy class in Class 4A District 3, and it's a cross-town battle here this week as Lewis Central is on the road to take on at Council Bluffs Thomas Jefferson. So I guess they drive down the street and get ready to play a football game. Jim's going to go with the road team. He's going with Lewis Central here for his pick in this one. And I guess, Doug, you'll get the next crack here at this one.
Yeah, TJ is led by Cameron Baker, very, very talented running back. I think a lot of people saw the video of him a few weeks ago breaking about 32 tackles on one run and taking it to the house. I mean, the kid's got about 1,500 yards, 15 touchdowns, and he's averaging about 11 yards a carry. So, obviously, talented kid, and I'm sure he's getting some looks now from some college teams. They definitely do not pass the ball. Very, very few passing attempts for TJ. But when you look at the scores of the teams that they've both played, certainly favors LC. LC's got Duggan back, I think, again. He played last week in their game. Didn't throw the ball very much. I think he only had 13 passing attempts, but was still able to, I think he carried the ball 26 times or something. So they're not afraid of using him right now after that injury, and I just think the Titans are a talented ball club, especially when he's back there leading him. So I'm going to take the LC.
All right, that's another one for Lewis Central. Matt?
I'm going to take LC as well. I think they're just, even in their loss there early in the season to, I believe it was Centennial. Is that correct? Centennial. And Ankeny Centennial. That was a close game, too. I don't believe they had Max playing and a couple other guys. So that's maybe one they can get back. They've got another big game next week, I think, coming up that'll probably determine their seeding in there for the playoffs. But I think LC just has too much. A lot of diversification. They can run the ball, throw the ball, whenever. A lot of times they don't get themselves in positions where they're out of place, and so they just kind of do a lot of the small things right, and that's what makes them successful right now.
All right, another one there for Lewis Central, and I was cross-looking here. It's Urbandale, the close game that they lost Urbandale at Lewis Central there earlier. That was just a couple weeks ago for them. But that was another team that Thomas Jefferson, as Doug mentioned, comparison-wise, they just lost to last week by a much larger margin. So you're looking at kind of how they've fared against some of those similar competition. Lewis Central has done better so far here this year. And as Doug pointed out, Max Duggan has been back. He had 98 yards, 3 touchdowns rushing last week for them. So obviously feeling pretty good. He's a very talented athlete, and I think that's kind of just the case here in this game. They've got a little bit more talent-wise across the board than Thomas Jefferson, so I'm going to go with Lewis Central in this game as well. So we're all going to go with the Titans there in the Council Bluffs battle. Got two more games left here on our sheet to take a look at, and we will do that after we take this time out.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Every farmer would like to take less risk and make more revenue on the farm, right? Now you can with Price Flex from ProAg. You can lock out the market bottom, find opportunities to cover costs, and take the most out of the markets today and in the future. Talk to Ag Business Crop Insurance about how Price Flex will work for you. Take less risk, make more revenue with Price Flex. Call your trusted ProAg Crop Insurance partner today, Ag Business Crop Insurance, at 712-243-5464.
And welcome back here to Who's Gonna Win. Let's head to our final two picks on the sheet this week, as we are going to have a couple of games here in Class 3A District 7 for you. And the first one we'll take a look at here is Winterset going on the road at Glenwood. And Jim is going to go with the home team. He's going with the Glenwood Rams here in this contest. And is it Matt's turn here to take another crack at it?
Well, obviously we've seen both these teams play. They come in. This is basically this is for second place in the district here tonight for the most part. I think I'm going to go with the home team. I'm going to go with Glenwood. They've just ever since their the first couple of games, they kind of struggled kind of getting things going. Came out against Harlan, then I think their fourth game of the year, lost close one, 17-14. But since then, they've just been on a roll, 52 points, 42 points, 40 points last week. They've got Noah Carter huge. I think they've finally figured out, you know what, maybe we can just run off tackle up the middle with him. That sets things up for Bloom off the edge or just following him right behind him. They're going to do it on the ground. If they're forced to pass, they're going to struggle. So that'll be a key for Winterset. Winterset does have a decent defense, but my concern about Winterset is, are they going to have a letdown this week? Mm-hmm. You know, that was a tough game to give up last week. Some opportunities I think they thought let slip by, and having to go on the road over here to Glenwood, they're going to have to get up for it. But I think right now Glenwood's on a roll, home game. They just seem to, when their back's up against the wall, Coach Faust kind of gets them to rise. So,
all right, so that's another one there for the Rams. Yeah, very important game. This is pretty much the playoff game. If you win, you're going to get that second position here in this district. Was really impressed with the way that Winterset played last week. Certainly gave themselves a chance to be in that game, you know, and as we talked about, the weather maybe having a little bit to do with how things got slowed down there. But they're certainly a team that's capable of, you know, playing with anybody in this district. They proved that here throughout the season. So they are a team that you got to look out for. But I'm kind of with Matt here. I think that as the season has gone along, I think Glenwood has gotten better. They've kind of figured out who the other parts of the puzzle are that can help them offensively other than just Andrew Bloom. And they've started to spread that ball around a little bit more. They're really a team that kind of wears on you throughout the game, and that's, you know, what they're going to hang their hat on. And they're going to come out and play tough defense. You know, they like to play tough, tight press coverage on you, and you're going to have to make a big play or two in order to beat them. And I think that Glenwood at home with this kind of big game and the home atmosphere that they're going to have, I think Glenwood's going to be able to get the win. Doug?
Matt mentioned the sting of that game Winterset had from last week. I think they lost 7-6 to Harlan. I think that was one of those games certainly that was – more equalized by the weather. I think under good conditions, I think Harlan would be, the margin of victory would be a little bit better. My understanding, and I may be wrong about this, is that Winterset had actually stopped Harlan on the 2-yard line, but got called for a face mask penalty. And so I think Harlan ended up scoring their touchdown there, certainly a game that the Huskies feel, let slip out of their grasp. And I think Glenwood, as Matt mentioned too, with Noah Carter, boy, that kid's kind of come on last few games and really rushed the ball. So I'm going to take the Rams at home.
All right, so that's Glenwood across the board in that contest. We'll stay in Class 3A District 7, and this will be our broadcast game for you here tonight as the Atlantic Trojans will go on the road to take on the Carroll Tigers. And Jim is going to take the Trojans to go on the road and get a victory. And I am going to agree with him. I think that Atlantic has gotten some things figured out here these past few weeks. They've started to kind of diversify the offense a little bit, find ways to get the ball out on the perimeter to guys that can really make plays in open space. Obviously, that was tougher to do last week just with the way the weather was. But, you know, they're finding ways to win, whether it's, you know, getting a different guy to step up in a certain game. Looked like Logan Riley had a big game for him last week. So, you know, different guys in different moments, and that's starting to help them kind of get over the hump. This is going to be a hard one. You're going to have to try to claw out. So you're going to have to come in there with a little bit of swagger to see if you can knock off a team like Carroll that's played a lot of close games. But I'm going to go with the Trojans and get them another district victory here for Atlantic. And, of course, they win this game. They guarantee themselves a winning record here on the season, too. Doug.
Yeah, which would be great for Atlantic, you know, getting some things turned around and instilling some more confidence in the kids. And, you know, the more success you have, I mean, that breeds success, and so you get some more numbers out for the football team. I think Carroll is a team that has talent. They're always have some good athletic players, but I think Atlantic can match that athleticism. As you mentioned, you know, you can spread the ball around, and it seems like every week there's someone else that is stepping up and making plays. We just need to make sure we limit the turnovers. You know, if they can hold onto the ball and not give it away to the Tigers, I think Atlantic can take the win. So I'm going to take Atlantic.
All right, that's another one there for the Trojans. Matt, what do you think?
Well, with Carroll, they've pretty much done it on the ground. That's definitely where they've gotten it done, and it's been done with Higgins back there. Last week against Dennison, 38 carries for 212 yards. He has 683 yards on the season. If they're forced to throw more, their quarterback has only completed 39%. He's thrown 6 interceptions on the season, no touchdowns. So it's definitely going to have to stop the run, which has kind of been Atlantic's Achilles heel sometimes. These teams have these powerful fullbacks in there, they've kind of struggled with that. This definitely isn't a team. Carroll had a good run last few years. I'm not sure if they made it to the Dome or not, but they tried. But that's definitely not their team this year. But I don't know. This is going to be a tough one. I would like to, Atlantic, big win for them would get them over the hump. It's just that run game of Carroll that concerns me. If we can stop that, and try to keep up with them. So this might be a little bit of a shocker here, but I'm gonna go against Atlantic just to pick up a game on Jim. I think this is one of those flip-flop games. It's just going to depend on the night and which kids show up there. So this is a game, and I hope I'm wrong, of course. So, but this is one where I see maybe.
We hope there's no shocker.
Exactly right. The shockers that I picked.
Yes, right.
Yeah,
that's what I meant.
Yeah. It's complete shocker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, it goes back to my mind is thinking one thing and something just spewed out.
Talked yourself a couple different directions here in the program today.
Now, do we have enough time to talk about the Cyclones? Or?
Yeah, how about the Cyclones?
Jim's not here to,
biggest win in program history as far as a surprise win and on the road against a top three team for that matter. Yeah, pretty impressive.
Unfortunately, we still don't have the tiebreaker, do we, Chris?
No, we don't, unfortunately, And that would look a lot – the season would look a lot better right now if that game would have gone the other way too for the Cyclones. But
I need to win a few more games and who's going to win before I can getting the championship belt.
That's true, who knows? Joel Lanning might be the kicker this week here for the Cyclones.
I should call Joel Lanning and have him pick my who's going to win games,
exactly.
I think.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just tweet it to him or something.
All right, that's going to wind things down for us here on this week's Who's Going to Win. Stay tuned with us. We will have that Atlantic and Carroll game coming up here for you. Mike Smith will be joining me for the broadcast as we get going with our pregame kickoff. It's set for 7:30 here tonight. We'll have it for you on the radio, online, and on the mobile app and on our TV page with the video feed as well. So we hope you join us one way or another. For Doug Leonard, Matt Mullenix, I'm Chris Parks, and also for Jim Field, who wasn't with us here this evening. That's going to do it for Who's Going to Win. Thanks to Nishna Valley Credit Union and Ag Business Associates for another week of Who's Going to Win.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Every farmer would like to take less risk and make more revenue on the farm, right? Now you can with PriceFlex from ProAg. You can lock out the market bottom, find opportunities to cover costs, and take the most out of the markets today and in the future. Talk to Ag Business Crop Insurance about how PriceFlex will work for you. Take less risk, make more revenue with PriceFlex. Call your trusted ProAg Crop Insurance partner today, Ag Business Crop Insurance, at 712-243-5464.